Welcome to this week's episode of the Building Texas Show. I'm thrilled to have Chris Carey here from Bernie Little League. And when we think about what's happening in Texas, when we talk about entrepreneurial activities, I want to pause and say we all live and work to really create community and support our families and create a quality of life that we're pursuing. And in Bernie, Texas, we enjoy a great one. And it was featured recently nationwide when Bernie Little League went to the Little League World Series. And I was just so moved to see our community come together, our state come together in so many ways. And it started such a conversation amongst friends and family and sometimes people that don't ever work together, but we could find common ground around Little League baseball. And as an assistant coach at Bernie Little League today for my kids' teams, I'm thrilled to sit down with the commissioner of the league. We're going to talk a little bit about the Little League World Series, but the conversation is really how are we building and developing the future workforce, the future leaders, the future fathers in baseball of our community. And we do that through volunteering. We do it through being involved, and sports is a big piece of that. We're focused on baseball today, but if you're a basketball coach, a soccer coach, you're making an impact on a child's life, and it's not your child. It might be part of that, but it's really many kids across a team. So, Chris, thank you for joining us today, and congratulations on all the success. Let people know, what is it like to be a commissioner at Bernie Little League?
Technically, the role is the president of the league, so but it's a lot of fun. This year has definitely been fun with all the excitement around the Little League World Series and this team, and just a lot of people don't know the amount of effort that's put in the background to make a league of almost 1,000 kids in the spring, 700 kids in the fall to make that happen. We've got 16 board members that are part of that. We've got every division has a commissioner. They have a player agent, and there's just a lot of people that are involved to make this happen. So for me, at leading this organization and working with these individuals on a daily basis to provide a good product of baseball and softball, and then to end up where we ended up, it's pretty awesome. So really enjoy volunteering my time and really around, you know, baseball and softball and teaching life lessons and developing leaders, young leaders and the coaches as well. Because it's just a lot of fun.
1,000 kids going through a program is huge. And then you break it into the logistics of practice times, game times, limited field resources, things that I know in our community have been a hurdle, but we wouldn't have done the Little League World Series without all 1,000 kids, without a league that is operating and functioning year after year, because it wasn't, oh, we're going to go to the Little League World Series this year. It's, we had to build on that success. How does that work? The business of Little League and working with like the city on the field offices or on the field alone, what does that relationship look like, and how's it paid for?
So the relationship with Bernie Little League in the city is probably the best it's been in a long time. And I say this just from the continuous communication between us and the city. It's paid for through registration fees, essentially. There's, I think it was 2017, they enacted some youth sports ordinance. And basically, it's if you're inside the city limits of Bernie, it's $10. If you're outside the city limits of Bernie, it's $50. So on average, we spend about $80,000 a year, but having a contract that allows us to use the fields through like time periods. So for the spring, it's March 1st to May 31st, and then also throughout all-star play. So having a majors team going, you know, playing all summer, we basically had access to Quad 2, for example, all summer, for whatever teams are continuing to participate throughout the tournaments. Same thing for softball as well. The same rules apply there. And then in the fall, we have the fields basically August 20th through October 31st, and it's a Monday through Thursday agreement. We're looking at hopefully getting the city to agree to a longer term agreement in the spring, and then also more days in the fall. So that's something we're working on with the city. Fields are obviously a premium around here.
Yeah.
So if you'd be listening, they want to build fields, feel free, call me. So
you would encourage a need in our community to maintain quality of life is someone either privately investing in the land and development for future fields, or some sort of city-county relationship that would create more fields. I think we have Bernie Parks and Rec talking about that. We have some other people really working on that problem, but who else uses those fields? So we talk about Little League, but then there's select leagues and travel ball, and help me understand that landscape, because it's a little bit daunting as a parent to think about the time.
Yeah, so we, during the spring, select, there's the Play NCS or the Syntex organization will contract to have the fields. It's typically anywhere from 3 to 4 weekends during that contract period. So in the spring, we've got a Monday through Sunday, so basically all week long. And then when you roll into the fall, now it's Monday through Thursday, so you start seeing more select activity on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at the field. So, and then outside of that contract, you'll see a lot of select teams utilizing the space. So and when I think about this problem, I don't think about this problem as a Bernie Little League problem. I think as a Bernie youth baseball / softball problem as a whole, because if you think about where do these kids go from here, from Bernie Little League from travel baseball, select baseball, whatever you want to call it, where do they go? What's the next level? Well, they go into high school. So whatever happens here benefits the future of this, if you think about the high school baseball organizations and beyond. So,
and we have a lot of talent that's produced and curated all the way through high schools. And we have a successful high school program with Bernie ISD and other ISDs in the region. But I've also seen from an economic development concept and just on the business side of youth sports, I was in Panama City Beach, Florida, and they have a giant sports complex with hotels all around it. And it looks like when I was walking through the parking lot, I was on my way to the skate park with my 9-year-old, but I saw license plates from all over the Southeast, and they were having baseball tournaments. And to me, that's hotel occupancy tax.
Yeah.
That's tourism. That's economic activity around youth sports. Does something like that benefit the local leagues too?
It just depends on who, if the local league runs and operates the fields, then yes. In this scenario, if you've got, let's just say, we'll just call it, if we're doing the Texas West State Tournament for Little League here in Bernie, Texas, you're bringing roughly 8 teams into town. They're going to bring family members. They're going to have a place to eat. They're going to have a place to stay, all that stuff. And it really is a boost for the economy. And I would love to have these conversations with the city of Bernie about having more availability for tournaments for Little League. Now, there are select tournaments as well that do the same thing. And it's just, to me, from an economic, it brings a lot of dollars into town.
It's that tourism that's going to come in for a specific reason, purpose, and then move on. So let's talk about that one last time, back to the Little League World Series, because I was asked by my 9-year-old, how do you get on the team that goes to the Little League World Series? And I said hard work and persistence and practice, but who made that team? What was it that brought that team in particular together?
So we have a lot of I would consider it a lot of past Bernie Little League players that in coordination with Justin, essentially to bring Justin Newson, our manager,
yep,
for the team, to bring these kids back into Little League. I mean, one thing it does, for regular season rec baseball, it elevates the game. My 10-year-old probably learned more from these 12-year-olds than he has his whole baseball career learning from me.
Just so watching it on TV.
He actually played against some of these kids during the regular season, and then he went on and played All-Stars himself as well. But so we wanted to get some seasoned baseball players back into the league to be able to have a shot to go further. I mean, for the longest time we've either won district or gone to sectionals, but we haven't gone past sectionals. And And the goal was really not just all stars. The goal was how do we improve regular season play too, and essentially give everyone, in a way you think about it, it's almost like having a Schlecht experience inside Little League playing against these kids that are really good. And then from there we do in season. I'm not going to call them in season evaluations, but essentially watching the players throughout the season and how they play and perform, and then doing our best to put the best team together that's going to give us the best shot. We're probably one of the few teams in the Little League World Series that had two kids that were full-time Little League players, and I'll call them out, Gage Steubing and Ben Burkhart.
Yep.
Never played Schlecht baseball. So that goes to show, too, that just because, you know, you do live in the world of Schlecht baseball, you're going to have to, what you said, perform and give it your all and be a good team player in order to be part of it. So
consistency and discipline. And,
yeah.
And that's what I love about baseball in particular. The idea, if you've never watched a baseball game and kept a scorecard, I don't know that you've ever really experienced baseball.
Yeah.
Because when you start doing what we did in the 40s and 50s of keeping score, looking at every hit, you realize that it's a game about every pitch. And it's a new game every time. And for my son in particular, that was an important lesson for him to shake off the previous bad pitch, move on. It's every time, every place. And what an important lesson for kids to learn, whether you're in T-ball or Schlecht, the lesson's still the same.
Yep.
You're learning it in your peer group, kids on the field, and you're learning it in a relatively safe place. And I want to commend all of the coaches, that the volunteers that put into these leagues across the country. It's a commitment. And then if you're a head coach, you're in the logistics meetings, you're in all of this, and then there's the expectation of apps, and then there's parents and everything that goes with it. And I love the Game Changer app because I had a diligent coach that put every stat in it, and I could go home and show my son, hey, here's where you're really improving game after game. Look at the stat line. But that's somebody giving of their free time to make that a reality. So coaches make a difference. Parents make a difference. How does Bernie Little League really find those volunteers? And then how do you make sure they're the right volunteers for that role?
That's a great question. And I've been on the board for this a little over 2 years now. One is the vice president, now the president of the league. And it's really just advertising, essentially. Hey, we've got, we need head coaches, we need assistant coaches, we need team parents, whatever the case may be. And you know, I have a good feeling probably in the spring we're actually going to start not necessarily turning away coaches, but yeah, we're going to be a little more selective. And it's all about this Positive Coaching Alliance mission that we're on and really producing the best for the kids, meaning bringing the best coaches to the table that are going to have the development mentality and not the win at all cost mentality, and really just focusing on the kids' development versus did I win today's game. And I even have that message as a head coach to my parents is, hey, don't expect us to win. I'm going to make us competitive, which is going to give us that opportunity to win. But I'm also going to focus on all 12 kids' development, all 11 kids, however many kids I have on the team. I'm going to focus on their development. I'm not going to focus on the top six. I'm going to focus on all the kids. And that's the mentality we want, is like we don't want to have a kid that's new to the sport and that essentially gets left behind because there's eight kids on the team that is where we spend our focus on. And it's not all about the end of the season, the all-star play. That's the icing on the cake, but it's really about the regular season play and just, you know, really spending time on the kids and developing them, make them into good baseball players and even better teammates, right?
Well, we just kicked off the fall ball season, and you and I, we played against each other last week, and we were sharing experience that every time we kick off a new season, we always have one child that is maybe coming into kid pitch, never seen baseball bat before, really new, fresh, probably just moved to the community. And we've got to welcome them in, and we've got to build their mental toughness, because it is hard for that child, in this case, 8, 9, 10 years old, to walk out on that field for the first time knowing everybody else has swung a bat, or thinking everyone else has swung a bat. Yeah. And it's brave for those kids to do it. It's hard for the parents to know how to encourage. And it's the coaches that really fill that gap in so many ways. And so, again, just want to celebrate people that volunteer, and then celebrate the programs you put in. So the Positive Coaching Alliance, it was helpful for me to go through as a coach. You have to go through training. You have to go through a background check. There's some safety elements that are just the reality of our world today.
Yeah,
I've seen it similar in scouting and other youth organizations. But that focus on coaching, the focus on the language that's used, how we develop the child. We don't need pitchers at 8 years old throwing 1,000 pitches. Tommy John by 10 is not recommended. But I've seen coaches, and in my childhood sports, I had extreme coaches like that, where the science just hadn't been explained yet. And I think we have a lot more to work with. And Positive Coaching Alliance is a good example of how the adults in the room can really step up to the next level and hold other adults accountable for language. The audience or the stands can be negative sometimes, but I've seen the coaches stop the game and say no, or ask people to leave. And I think we as a community need to be willing to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all of that is what makes it, it makes baseball not fun, or makes softball kind of, that's the negative that we want to take out of the picture. Because, you know, you see that, you can go to a select tournament and you'll see a lot of that. You'll see it on, at our fields occasionally. I'll say probably the last year my perspective is a lot of that negativity has gone down, meaning I hear more coaches, you know, speaking more of the pick me up language versus the tear me down language, more of just the positive encouragement to the kids, waiting until they come off the field and having those conversations versus yelling at them while they're on the field. And that's one thing you'll never see me do, is you'll always see me pull a kid aside after an inning, a half inning's over, and just having that conversation with the player, just to really, one, to say, hey, it's okay to make mistakes. Two, let's reset and refocus and try to, you know, get past that. Because a lot of kids, it's tough for them to get over something. If they made a mental error or whatnot, it's tough for them to get through that and then to be able to be ready for the next play. And it's just something you have to teach the kids, like, hey, it's okay.
But I know adults in the workforce that are still struggling to learn that lesson, because they weren't involved in a healthy youth sports activity growing up, or they didn't get exposure to other adults as they were growing up and developing those tools and systems. And so, again, just welcoming everyone to baseball, because it's not an exclusive. Even if you're 10 years old and never played before, come out and get involved. You're going to be put in a place where you're encouraged and lifted up in the little league mentality. And just the skill of going out and failing, and it's okay to fail. When we look at, just the Little League World Series was an example, you had to have depth in those charts. You had to have kids that could go to different positions and give the coaches the ability. How do you get that kid that just wants to be the pitcher all the time to really become the utility player, to become strong in other roles where they can be a good team player?
You know, in Little League, if you think about it, a lot of the better kids, where do they end up playing? They either play shortstop, first base, second base, third base, catcher, or pitcher. You really don't have a lot of kids that play the outfield. And so kind of the nice thing about this scenario is when you have kids playing both select and Little League, you get that true utility player aspect from those kids, because in select, it's possible that they're an elite player and they're playing in the outfield in select, because that's just where they're playing. Because there's, you know, potentially five other kids on the team that are better and they're playing infield, or whatever the case may be. So that's really how you develop that, is by kids moving around, through the developmental, even in Little League, you can accomplish this too. I have kid, my son, for example, has played outfield even yeah. during the regular season. So it's about putting kids in different positions and really like teach them how to play every position possible. And that's how you get the true utility player. It's not just by sitting a kid playing shortstop and expecting him to go play right field and All-Stars. That's just not going to happen.
Well, my son's experience, he wanted to be in the infield. That was like the signal yeah. that he was doing well. And eventually he got to be the catcher. And it woke him up to really understanding the game differently and taking a lot of pride in it. And that's what got him to a next level. And it was trying different positions and getting them to where they could really just find themselves and be confident. When we look at Bernie Little League, and I want to go back to, it's expensive at some point. And when I think about somebody going on a 2-week tournament and kind of how do you plan for that? We didn't expect that to happen. But I think more importantly, how do we make youth sports like this, and we'll just use your organization as an example, Bernie Little League. If I think about our community, we've got 30% of our students at Bernie ISD are on some sort of support program. And so in that instance, I think line items like Little League registration and others become less affordable and accessible. What does the league do to ensure that really is every kid has an opportunity if they express it?
Yeah, so we work with the school and Sam's Kids for those scenarios. We also offer scholarship opportunities too. So we essentially take some of our registration fees and dedicate them to scholarship opportunities. When you talk about for regular season play, when you start talking about tournament play, we don't, unlike most of the leagues around here, we don't charge a fee for all-star play, okay. meaning we're not charging for uniforms and those kind of things. Because we don't want to exclude anyone from the process. And then when you start talking about tournament play, now you're talking about, you know, travel to, for example, for the Texas West tournaments in Abilene, you end up, you take your kid and then you take the family goes as well, and you could easily rack up $2,000 from that trip. And then you go to the next level, regionals, same kind of thing, except now you're talking more money, $5,000 to $6,000. And then you've got Williamsport, which for a whole team and their family, luckily with Williamsport and regionals, the player and the coaches are essentially covered.
Okay.
For travel and for hotel, food, and that kind of thing. The families, though, on the other hand, are not covered, and that's where you start leaning on your small businesses, your corporations and whatnot to see what you can raise. We learned a lot this year from what's the best way to do this to what's not such a great way to do this. And a lot of it is just because of just the documentation provided by Little League was not really clear. So there's a lot of guessing. And now that we've been through it, there should be no more guessing. Hopefully the next time we go through this, I'll either be around or I can be around to coordinate or help with this effort just so that we don't go through this again.
So next year's team should call you and say, hey, there's some lessons learned.
Yeah. Next year we've got 24 parents, 12 players, and a whole board that can probably provide some advice. So,
but it is a good callback to, and it's exciting when you're in the Little League World Series, and we saw our community really come and rally around that. Bars and restaurants and small businesses, y'all were able to fundraise really well. And we saw the pros and cons of that, right? You had other people trying to say, oh, I'm raising for this. Yes. They may not be. So I would always encourage in some of those, make sure you're supporting the right organization. But the small businesses in every town across America really do make youth sports like Little League or others possible. And we see it every day on the signboards in the field or the uniforms on the back. That's a critical part of community support, creating future leaders. Sure, you're advertising your business, but really you're advertising your character in so many ways and what's important to you. And that was so fun to see it come together the way it did when we were on national TV. The reality is it's been like that for a long time. I look at our ball fields and I look at the plaques in the ground at every quad that says, hey, Bart Hutton and family made this possible. And there's many others. I just remember his name, but There's many others, and they didn't do it because you're on ESPN. They did it because they love baseball. They had kids in the program, and it made a lifetime impact to those kids.
Yeah, and if you go out there today, most of the field signs that you see in the outfield are sponsors that sponsored before we were even in Williamsport. So we have amazing small businesses in Bernie, Texas that step up and put their name on a sign, which in turn helps a scholarship opportunity or helps an improvement to something at the fields, whether it's equipment or the batting cages, or I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, but we own a Bauer Field, which is a 69 year old high school minor league baseball field that's off of John's Road. So we use those funds to essentially keep that field up. And then again, it's all about providing good equipment for the kids, because like you said, there's scenarios that a kid may not be able to afford something. We can provide it, and we provide catcher's gear from the aspect of developing catchers, because otherwise you've got the one kid on your team that has his own gear, and if he's the only one catching, you're in trouble.
Yeah. So it really is a team sport, and the community, I just want to call our audience as entrepreneurial business leaders, I commend your company for being so open when you get this experience, and it's going to be a big disruption, but they were excited to support you.
Yes.
They were excited to learn more about baseball through an employee going out and making a huge community impact.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome when I said, hey, in August, I'm probably going to be taking 2 weeks off and heading to Williamsport. And I was like, is that okay? Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, that's kind of the joys of working remote as well. I do go in the office a couple of days a week, and then I work the remote the rest. And obviously today I'm working remote, because here I am. But it's awesome that companies are willing to support volunteerism throughout. And I mean, I've been doing this for almost 3 years, and they've supported me the whole time, to the point of with 3M, they provide dollars to the league for my board service.
Yeah.
I know since we've spun off into this new company, they are working on the same process too. So they even put money towards this kind of opportunity as well for their employees. So it's just awesome that there's employers out there that do this. And I mean, I learn from this too. Mm-hmm. I learn how to lead, an organization as well as leading in my own organization. And this is a development opportunity as well, if you think about it. So,
yeah, when you end up leading a group to national TV that way, and then just the character development of those kids for companies, the small businesses, Main Street businesses in our town, that's your future customer, your future workforce, people that are going to be around your kids in school, whatever it might be, you're developing character, you're investing in the future of our community, and that's so important. And I want to make sure that we just reiterate, Little League is available for anybody at all ages and stages to come in. It doesn't mean they're going to be on All-Stars and going on to Little League World Series. They can on merit, but we welcome a 10-year-old that's never played baseball before to come in and start learning the skills development and the character development that go along with playing team sports.
Pending a birth certificate. No, we can't identify as a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Come play. So,
yeah.
But no, Little League is open up till, technically 16 years. We haven't had a 16-year-old program in a long time. That's kind of a goal.
Okay.
With Bauer Field, that allowed us to start including 13 and 14-year-olds in what we call our junior league program. And then it's going to advance from there, and hopefully we can have a senior league program too, because those two teams have the same opportunity as the team that went to the Williamsport to the Little League World Series. They do a Little League World Series for juniors and seniors, just in different locations, but they do the same kind of concept. So,
And as we wrap up, I so appreciated that we got to play each other last week in kid pitch, right? And so not the age that we saw on TV, a little bit younger. And we got some new players in there at all positions. But that's the my favorite part. I've been coaching for 4 years, and on every team, there's somebody that's never picked up a bat. And they got to be brave to go stand in that batter's box. And they've got to try a new position. And they're probably not going to be the pitcher on day one. But even if you're right field and that pop fly is coming to you for the first time and you've never really experienced it, there's a lot of character development that happens in that 30 seconds. And then you drop it and you pick it up and you throw it in and you do it again. I love that experience as an adult, seeing the kids grow and then hearing their parents circle back and come to you and say, oh, wow, this coach made such an impact on my son or daughter at this stage. And the call to the community is keep supporting all of the leagues. We all need volunteers, the right volunteers. And y'all put some great programming into it to ensure that the right people are in the room, it's safe for the kids to go out and play and learn, and that they're going to be built up in this positive coaching alliance. And I'm thrilled to hear that next year we'll be rolling it out for parents.
Yep.
Because I still say the most difficult thing for me to watch in this environment is parents living through their kids at the little league level. It makes no sense to me. It's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But the damage it does to that kid is really what hurts me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they expect perfection.
Yeah.
And it is, like we talked about earlier, it's a game of failure. I hate to use the game of failure. It's a game of opportunity.
Yeah.
For the kids and help as a parent helping the kids through those moments. It can either steer them in the right direction or the wrong direction. They could be terrified in the box, or they could go to the box the next time and be ready to take another hit by pitch or whatever the case may be. What's cool about being in Little League and coaching, and it's not the wins. It's none of that. It's the messages you get after a game. After the game that we played, the starting pitcher was starting to dislike baseball somewhat. Yep. And after the game, I got a cool text from his mom about how he will not stop talking about the fact that he got to pitch and he had 6 strikeouts.
Yep.
I don't know if he's 9 yet. He may be still 8, but he pitched like 40 pitches or whatever. But anyways, he was disliking the game of baseball, and now that's all he talks about every yep. day. To me, that's what's awesome about the game. It's not the wins. It's really like, what are you passing on to the kids that they can use today, tomorrow, and in the future, in their life. So,
well, and I just want the one experience that I want to talk about on the Little League World Series that I watched on national TV was the game of baseball happened. You had 4 pitchers in an inning, essentially. And that means you had to move those players around. That means you had to be ready. And it means that I think the youngest person on the team had to step into a very high-pressure situation. And we saw him meet that in a really incredible way. And what I'll be thrilled to watch is in 20 years when he comes back and says, this is what I learned in that moment.
You know, that kid will probably be teaching those lessons to the same age or older in the future. I see Caleb as, in my mind, a coach,
yeah.
Whether it's at the high school, collegiate, or whatever level, that kid is going to be relaying his or telling his story to kids way in the future. So,
but for that entire team to step into a stadium of 26,000 people, a national TV audience, a whole town at home, encouraging.
Yeah, I was nervous.
I would be too. I'm nervous now, reliving it.
I just being those kids and being in that scenario with that many people yelling around them, and just to keep their composure and to play their heart out, it was amazing to see. So,
well, as we wind down the conversation, you're a volunteer leader of a 1,000 person organization that had great success this season. We'll see what next season brings, but It is a commitment to from the community to make it happen over and over again, to have all the volunteers, to have the kids show up and register and want to play, and then to see the small business and other business support come in. It's a testament to how we're building a future of leaders, of discipline, of access. And then I just want to say thank you to you and all of the volunteers that support the organization. If you're a parent at home thinking about it, look for organizations that have programs like the Positive Coaching Alliance that are really going to help you become a stronger volunteer, improve the quality of life, and make it a safer experience for the kids to come in and find those opportunities. And if they're really lucky, end up on a national stage, but it's never the goal. It's always just a benefit.
Yeah, that's that. Where they ended up was icing on the cake for sure. And you know, we need volunteers to step up. And you know, there's a scenario like, I just don't know if I have the time to do it. Always remember, as a if you're stepping up to coach, you've got two other coaches to help you out. So don't always think that you're going into this alone.
Yep.
Because that's what initially I thought as well. And I was sitting in the stands and two gentlemen said, hey, do you want to help us coach? And I'm like, sure, I'll help. You know, I wasn't planning on coaching, but, you know, I've been coaching since. So, and that was not even 3 years ago. That was 8 years ago six years ago. I even coached prior to having kids. So, just as something to do.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed working with the kids and just teaching them the game of baseball. And it was just one of those things like, hey, you want to help coach? Cause I was new to the area. So I was like, I don't know anybody, you know? So
yeah.
That's always kind of a thing too. Is like, well, I don't really know anybody. We've got a great group of what I call core individuals that volunteer that would be happy to take anybody under their wing and teach them the game of baseball and softball. So,
well, Chris and the entire Birdie Little League team, thank you for the way that you are building Texas and really building future leaders in our community and around the country.